dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Beginning a part of the mind as yet not mapped, and yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. This is Dreamland. It certainly is a Sunday evening and another Dreamland. Hi, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Good to be here. I would like to announce yet a couple of more new affiliates for Dreamland, which is expanding like crazy. WCMY AM in Ottawa, Illinois. Welcome to Dreamland. That's Ottawa, Illinois, and WCMY, the program director there, Jay LeSure. Thank you, Jay. Glad to be on. And KPRL AM in Paso Robles, California. The program director there, Kevin Will. Kevin, thanks for getting us on. Welcome to the Dreamland group. You'll find it a very diverse program. And in just a moment, we're going to enter the world of the usual procedure. That is to say, Linda Howe will be here for her report this evening. Linda Howe, the actual guest on Dreamland last week. Then comes Sean Morton, as promised. But first, this word, do you have hard water? Okay, back to Philadelphia now. And the certainly the star of last week's program and the star of every week's program. So many of you enjoy her. She is Linda Howe. Hi, Linda.
Well, I enjoyed last week very much myself. I have heard from so many people since last weekend, except for one person that I know that I and several other listeners hoped I would hear from, and that is the woman from Illinois who called in about a helicopter that had hovered over cars on a freeway somewhere in Illinois, had stopped their engines, and she had said to you, Art, that she would call me the next morning about this extraordinary story that involved many pieces, as she was trying to tell us on the air, but I have to date not heard from her. So if she is listening, I would appreciate
I'll tell you what, Linda, let's do two things. If she's listening right now,
she
could call me right now at area code 702-727-1222 while your report is still on the air. Area code 702-727-1222 if that lady's listening. Otherwise, give out your number.
All right. And if she could get in touch with me at area code 215-491-9840, I would certainly like to know more. I did check with the Illinois Press Association. I did check with some newspapers. I did try to get a hold of some people. No one knew about this alleged interaction with a helicopter, and I think she said something had gone down in a field. But that doesn't necessarily mean that something didn't happen, because one of our challenges in all of this anomalous phenomenon is trying to find out what's going on in local areas where stories stay bottled up. So maybe she will call us. Also, Barnes and Noble said to people who may have called early on Monday and Tuesday, they had asked me to announce that the Glimpses of Other Realities will be in Barnes and Noble, but they said it may be about 10 more days before it's actually in stores and out there, so everybody can keep checking with Barnes and Noble. Also, something that I think I'm going to try to do from time to time is I get some remarkable letters from Dreamland listeners that underscore for me how many people keep something to themselves, even for 20 or 30 years, that in retrospect is a very important piece of the story of what has been our government's interaction with these things that we call flying discs or UFOs or flying saucers or whatever they are over these now almost half a century. And one of our Dreamland listeners, who now still prefers, after a 20 years ago event, to remain anonymous, did agree to allow me to do a tape-recorded interview for airing tonight, and I think it's a very important story. And he began his letter to me one afternoon in November 1965, and he was 14 years old then. After I had finished school, I went with my mother on a shopping errand into Covina, California, which is in the San Gabriel Valley. It was in the mid-afternoon, that means the sun is still up, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember we were waiting for the signal light to change, and I was looking out the car window almost directly overhead. I caught something moving in an eastward direction. It was round and medium gray in color, and here in his own voice is what happens next.
At almost the same time, I noticed some other aerial activity from west to east, and I noticed that there were 3 jet planes. 2 of them had swept-back wings, much like today's modern jet fighters. One of them had straight wings, which were closer to the time we had in the early 50s. During that time, I also noticed that there was a faint white light that seemed to originate from the jets, and it seemed to be something that was on its way, directly headed toward the disk, which was going to the east. I watched it gain. It was difficult to watch because they were so high, but I did watch it gain on the saucer, or this object, and then I noticed there was a big explosion. It was like a very dark gray-black cotton ball. And the saucer, or the disk, did not come out of that explosion, that cloud.
And you would see it clearly because this was daylight?
I saw it fairly clearly, yes. It was daylight. It was approximately, I would say it was between 2:30 and 3 in the afternoon, Pacific Standard Time. And the skies are kind of hazy, you know, in the Los Angeles area, certainly at that time. But it was clear enough that I could see, you know, the shape of the jet planes, you know, what type of wings they had.
And with this big explosion, what did these jets do?
At that point, they continued to fly eastward over into the Pomona Valley area. I watched them for a while, but by this time, we had begun to move, and we were proceeding on to our errands. The most important thing, of course, I was thinking that I have seen a flying saucer or UFO. I've seen 3 of our jet planes pursue it and apparently destroy it. And I was amazed. It really took me back. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, but I kept my eyes on it. And of course, as I say, the disc did not come out of that explosion. And the jets continued to fly in an eastward direction. And at that point, we were moving, and I lost visual contact with them.
And so that was in the afternoon. What happened that night?
Well, of course, that evening, I got back into the house, and I turned on the television news, which was common in our household. We watched the news every evening, but I was looking for, you know, some mention of that phenomenon that I had noticed, and I kept watching and watching, and nothing along those lines. But what I did notice was, of course, that the major news story of that evening was that there was a major blackout, which was affecting the northeast and some of the eastern seaboard that evening.
This is the one that went on for hours and hours.
Yes, correct. Throughout the evening, it was a major, major story.
And if I understand from your letter, at around 8:30 that night, lights went out in your neighborhood too.
Yes, that's exactly the case. The lights went out, and of course, this was of great concern to me. I was keeping in mind what I had seen earlier today, earlier in that day, what the news story was on the East Coast, and then the fact that we had the lights go out in our neighborhood. I just couldn't help it but feel, Linda, that there was something more than just a coincidence here.
Right. And when you went to the window,
seemed to be just dancing around the power lines. One of them was moving closer to the power station itself, that is one of the towers, whereas the other one seemed to stay pretty much centered between the lines. And, of course, that was of great concern to me as well.
Had you ever seen green lights on those power lines before?
No, no, ma'am. No, not that I can recall.
And did you watch until they disappeared?
No, I can remember going back a second time to see if the light, the green lights were still there, and they were. After the lights came back on in our household, I don't remember going back to the window to see if they were still there. I might have, I just don't remember.
Well, Art, people listening may or may not recall that in 1965, most of New York State and a good part of the New England area did go into blackout most of a night.
I was there.
You were?
I was there, yes.
All right. Well, and you probably remember that after the chaos and the confusion, there was some mention that maybe something had happened in Canada that had caused an interruption in the power.
I recall, yes.
And this man who is telling this story, he still feels privately that there may have been this interesting speculative idea that maybe we're dealing with a phenomenon that retaliated, so to speak, for whatever happened to that disc by interrupting an electric grid. I mean, that's come up certainly in science fiction stories, and no one can prove it, but that's what this man was has thought all these 20 years, that there was some connection. Well, tonight I also got a hold of John Keel, who some of our listeners may have read some of his important books from the 60s and the 70s, Our Haunted Planet and the Eighth Tower, and the Mothman Prophecy. And I knew that John Keel had spent a lot of time in New York and may have done some research. And in fact, in 1972, which was almost 10 years after the blackout, he said that the Federal Power Commission put out a 700-page report in Engineer's Vocabulary that John got a copy of and read, and he said what it all boiled down to was that there had been a Chinese nuclear test that had emitted a huge cloud of radioactivity that had passed around the globe, and that when it was over the northeast, it was having the impact on our electrical systems similar to an electromagnetic pulse that people have heard about in relationship to nuclear detonations.
Well, that's odd, Linda, because an electromagnetic pulse, I believe, is associated with the actual blast and the blast area.
That's what I said to John tonight, and I'm going to do some more research about that. He said, according to this long 700-page report that came out so many years after that event, that it was tied to the EMP pulse and the residual in this cloud. But he also, and everyone else has said, that it is, that is a stranger explanation, actually, than perhaps a kind of scenario of a day the Earth stood still kind of story in which maybe something did interact with our electric grid in a retaliation for our shooting one of its craft out of the air. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It's true. Linda, I'll tell you, I was on the 31st floor of a giant apartment building in Newark, New Jersey, and my father and I both saw New York City's lights blink out, and if you want to talk about an eerie, weird feeling, we thought we were going to war.
Wow.
We thought we were going to war. We turned the radio on. You couldn't even find radio stations. It was truly frightening for a little while.
And it was over such a huge area. There had never been such a large power failure like that before. And this man's story at least happened that afternoon in California, according to what he says that he saw. And I think it also raises that very interesting question about the alleged Earth secret war. Have we been in some kind of an offensive position with something out there that none of us know anything about or
right.
Why?
Precisely. Fascinating.
And if anybody in our dreamland listening audience has any similar report or any other eyewitness reports that they've not shared and would feel like they might like to share it, please get in touch with me, because I think that these are very important stories for all of us to know about.
I do agree. Linda, wonderful report. I'm sorry to say the appointed telephone line did not ring during this period.
So. Oh, I'm so sorry. Whatever that woman is, well, maybe, who knows, somewhere in the future, maybe we'll learn, or maybe it was a hoax.
Maybe it was. Linda, thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Howe, she'll be back next week with another fine report. And you never know, of course, and I tell people to be very careful, this is talk radio. A dreamland is talk radio, and anybody can say anything, so take what you hear with a grain of salt, or so. It's hearsay evidence, but and we rely on you to sit out there with your fine judgment and make your own judgments about what you're hearing. You've got to do that, folks. In a moment, Sean David Morton, Area 51, UN troops, UFO hotspots, and more coming next. Hi, this is Art Bell. I used to work in cable TV, and so I know what I'm talking about. The basic difference between regular hardwire cable, the stuff that comes right into your house, and a wireless cable system is that over-the-air broadcast signals don't have to squeeze through hundreds of miles of cable with its inherent maze of amplifiers and assorted hardware and lousy picture. The end result with broadcast cable is a state-of-the-art, high-quality picture that people love. Listen carefully, because this may be the most profitable telephone number you call this year. Get a pencil. You've read about it in the Wall Street Journal. You've probably seen it on TV and certainly heard about it on radio. It's the most exciting investment opportunity of the 90s, wireless cable television. Now you can become a part of this exciting industry. Call my friends at Communications Group. See how a minimum $7,650 participation could be worth to you $75,000 or more. Their last two projects are now complete. They're on the air signing up subscribers. Don't miss out on their exciting new project. For your free report and video, that's right, a free report and a free video, call toll-free 1-800-248-1996. Yes, this can be part of your IRA or pension plan. For complete details, for heaven's sakes, call 1-800-248-1996. See how you can become a partner in this exciting wireless cable television opportunity. Call my friends at the Communications Group at 1-800-248-1996. That's 1-800-248-1996. If you've got any savings or investments, I want you to listen to me very closely. You've got to hear this. I'm sure over the past few months you all have heard about the U.S. dollar losing a lot of its purchasing power against, most specifically, the yen. At the same time, the U.S. bond market has been in a devastating slide downward. In other words, these are uneasy times financially. There's going to be new money issued. They announced that last month. How did these changes, and they are big ones, affect your savings, your investments, and your futures? Well, they do. They do. And to find out how, you need to contact North American Trading. I'll tell you straight out, they sell gold. And gold is the way to go. You don't take all your money and dump it into gold. Nobody would be that foolish. But gold retains its value through difficult times. That's just a fact. Call them and find out why you should have some of your assets in a good hard currency like gold. The number is 1-800-877-9799. Once again, 1-800-877-9799, North American Trading. And now, very briefly, because we're near the bottom of the hour, let me put them over here. Very briefly, we've only got a few moments, comes Sean David Morton. Sean, welcome to the program. Welcome back to the program. Let me see. There we go. Are you there, Sean? Well, no, he's not there. So we're going to have to redial him. Well, okay, that's all just as well, I suppose. I suppose just as well, since we're near the bottom of the hour. Let me give out the telephone numbers that will be appropriate to get hold of Sean. If you're a first-time caller to this program, the number is area code 702-727-1222. That's area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card direct dial lines are area code 702-727-1295. 702-727-1295. Finally, toll free, it's 1-800-618-8255. That's 1-800-618-8255. Sean David Martin is the author of a couple of publications that I think you're going to find well worth perusing and hearing about. One is called The Gulf Breeze Prophecies, and this involves the tale of some service people who just suddenly up and left their very sensitive posts in Europe and came to the United States on the, frankly, on the advice of a Ouija board. It's a very strange story. Involves a lot of prophecy, and I think you'll find it riveting. The second is called The Millennium Factor, and this will harken back to one of the broadcasts, several of the broadcasts we did last week. A lot of people have felt that something is coming. Something is imminent. They can't quite put their finger on it. Is it some kind of millennium madness, or is there something at work here, some collective human consciousness, some sixth sense that tells us all something big is about to happen? I may have drawn a little much from his title, but that's how I relate to it at this moment. And in a moment, Sean David Morton.
Intelligent talk, food for the mind, right here on Talk Radio 102 FM.
This is Bob Miller, host of Money Talk PA Edition, with a comment on how to be a successful investor. I've seen it often. Timely information can be the difference between making and losing money on your investments. Because I am an employee at Dean Witter in Peoria, my clients have access to many timely information sources that can and have rewarded them greatly. If you have investments but feel you are not receiving the timely information you need, contact me, Bob Miller at Dean Witter Peoria. I will give you timely information that will help you be a successful investor.
Hi, this is David Essel, giving new meaning to the term network on the weekends here on Talk Radio 102. The program, David Essel Alive, is a live network radio program, but it's more. It's a nationwide group of people calling, listening to, and helping each other. If it's about diet, exercise, nutrition, motivation, attitude, health, and medicine, listen in and make a contribution. It's David Essel Alive.
Catch David Essel Alive, Saturday 9 to midnight and Sunday 10 till midnight on Talk Radio 102 FM.
They also work hard making communities all over America better places to live and work. The Navy's Community Service Program helps needy families through Sharing Thanksgiving, teaches elementary, middle, and high school students how to avoid drug abuse through Campaign Drug Free, and includes youth health and physical fitness and environmental conservation projects. In fact, more than 17,000 Navy volunteers and 1,000 commands, schools, and youth programs make up the Personal Excellence Partnership Program, helping young people get the most out of their education. Why? Because the men and women of the Navy believe that part of protecting America's freedom is making America a better place to live. We thought you should know. Navy, full speed ahead.
Peace Corps, skilled Americans making lasting contributions.
We've got ways to preserve the rainforest. We've got an advanced education no university could ever give.
After 30 years of working in business, Peace Corps was a labor of love.
To thousands of Americans, Peace Corps was a memory of a lifetime. Your experience can help you do something memorable.
Their challenge was growing a whole new crop, but my reward was the experience of making a difference.
It was the best experience I ever had.
If you have experience in areas such as forestry, the environment, small business, nursing, health, agriculture, or education, you can build a lifetime of memories in just 2 years. Call Peace Corps, 1-800-424-8580. It's still the toughest job you'll ever love.
Disease will kill 245,000 women this year. They won't be selected at random. Do you know your cholesterol number? It's one of the most important things to learn about your risk of heart disease. A message from the National Cholesterol Education Program.
Listen. Listen to the way your child breathes. Does he often wheeze or cough? Especially at night or after running. Is he often short of breath? Or does he frequently complain of tightness in his chest? These symptoms could mean your child has asthma, so be sure to listen closely. His life may depend on it. Breathe easier. Ask your doctor if it's asthma. A message from this station and the National Asthma Education Program.
Intelligent Talk. Right here on Talk Radio 102 FM.
From the Kingdom of Nye, you're here Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Much more than just a talk show. To participate in the program, call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. That's 1-800-618-8255. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Well, all of that is, of course, true, except the Coast to Coast AM part. That's my weekday show. The numbers, however, are absolutely the same. Now, to Sean David Martin. And, Morton, hi, Sean.
Good evening, Art. How are you tonight?
Just fine. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you back.
Thank you so much. The response from the last time I was on, I mean, all I can say was just, it was literally just overwhelming. I was wading through, you know, I mean, stacks and stacks of mail from people all across the country, and you have, bar none, some of the most intelligent, some of the brightest, some of the friendliest listeners that I've ever come in contact with. And as I said, the response to the book, The Millennium Factor, and my monthly newsletter, The Delphi Associates, through your listenership was, as I said, just was overwhelming. It was stunning.
Glad to hear it. Sean, a lot of this audience may not be familiar with who you are. And so tell them a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Okay. Yeah, gee, the hard part. Okay, I graduated from the University of Southern California with degrees in political science, organic chemistry, and drama. I then took postgraduate studies at Baraka Church in Houston, Texas, where I completed a course of study that was laid down by the pastor there for a degree in theology. After that, I actually became somewhat disillusioned with the Orthodox view of the universe. I became a Tibetan Buddhist and actually lived in a Tibetan monastery in Nepal called Tangbache for most of 1986. I've worked as a screenwriter, as a businessman, also as a professional psychic for many years, both in private and public practice. And I've also been a television and film producer and consultant. I've consulted for a number of programs, like Sightings. I've consulted for Unsolved Mysteries and a new program that was just on Fox called Encounters. I've finally been offered a producer position with a new TV show coming up called Mysteries, Magic, and Miracle.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. A lot of really good things are happening because everybody is very interested not only in the UFO topic, but in a lot of, I guess, what we could say, phenomenon-based television programming as well. I I've written a couple of books. One is called The Millennium Factor, Prophecy for the Next 30 Years. I co-authored another book with a very good friend of mine named Vance Davis, whom you've had on your show, called The Gulf Breeze Prophecy. And my major focus right now is that I write a monthly newsletter. And the newsletter is called The Delphi Associates. And I've been doing this for a year now. I'm entering into my second year. As a matter of fact, I'm just on my 12th issue, and we're going to be going into year two. And in the Delphi Associates, what I've managed to do is take my my psychic predictions of the future and the visions that I have had, and basically have a record of them through the newsletter. And I've had a very substantial success rate when it comes to predicting earthquakes, natural catastrophes, political occurrences, economic trends, and what have you, using not only my own humble psychic abilities, but it's usually 20% inspiration, 80% perspiration. I called it the Delphi Associates because I wanted to be able to also call upon people that I respected, other visionaries, master astrologers, futurists, what have you, people that that could create a forum so that we could basically talk about trends and things that I see up for the future, and basically warn those of humanity who will listen about a lot of the things that are ahead of us.
All right. I've had a lot of my my callers on both a regular program and this program for some time now, Sean, saying that something is coming, something is imminent, they feel it. Once one person said it, we have this cascade of people saying it. They feel something is coming. There's some sort of collective consciousness or collective something going on out there right now. And I wonder if you'd like to address that. What do you think that is?
Oh, goodness. Well, they feel that something is coming, I mean, I think very rightly. The point of, a lot of people are calling it, and I think you you coined the term millennial madness, where people are, many of the naysayers are simply saying, well, every time we come to a 1,000-year turn of the clock, that everybody gets crazy and that everybody goes nuts, and
that's
that everybody thinks that the world is going to end. And of course, they can look back to the look back to the 10th century, the year 1000, and say, well, you know, the world didn't end, even though there was a massive influx of this millennial fever back then. Of course, a lot of very interesting things around the year 1000. I mean, in the 10th century, you had the British invasion of Normandy, the Battle of Hastings. You know, I mean, a lot of major things began to change in the world about that time.
Sure.
Now, a lot of what is contributing to this, and one of the reasons why I think it's perfectly legitimate, why a number of people are very worried about, and I'll put it in just terms of the next 10 years, I look at it as from a much longer range of the next 30 years or so, is that we have so many people now who are pointing to the last 10 years of this decade as being important for the evolution of mankind. We can take this back hundreds of years, if we go back thousands of years, for example, we go back to the original birth of Christ 2,000 years ago, and I just wrote an article in my newsletter this month that it's my belief that the true year 2000 is actually coming up later this month. Through my research and through my study, it was my belief that Christ was born sometime in late August of 7 BC, and there was no zero year. It went from 1 BC to 1 AD, which would make the true year 2000 later this August. I believe the exact date was August 25th of 7 BC was the birth of Christ. So as of this year, I believe we're entering into the true year 2000. Then you can take it up to the fact that now we're entering the planet itself, or our entire solar system, is moving out of an old phase of space into an entirely new area of space that many people are calling the passing of the age of Pisces and moving into the age of Aquarius. We're moving out of the Piscean age, which has a lot to do with very rigid, centralized, strict control structures regarding religion, regarding government. Basically, if the leaders and the kings say it, we do it, a very service, do anything we're told type civilization, to the age of Aquarius, which is going to be much, much more based on the value of the individual and based on how groups can get things done and how civilization and society can begin to come together and begin to solve problems en masse, rather than leaving it to any centralized leaders or authorities. Then you come into, I guess, what we would call the ancient prophets, where you were talking in terms of Nostradamus. And Nostradamus gave a great deal of this very exact information regarding the next 10 years or so in his quatrains. And We've just managed to unlock a number of the Nostradamian quatrains simply because of this comet that has struck Jupiter, which Nostradamus described as being the bearded star, and he gave a number of very specific astrological events, which would then lead up to the coming of the bearded star, and that this bearded star, or Shoemaker-Levy 9, striking Jupiter, would then lead to a 6 or 7 or 8 to 10 year period of massive chaos across the planet. And taking into consideration, once again, also the Mayan prophecies, where the Mayans talk about that at the end of this 500 years, literally with the what they called the eclipse of the sixth sun, which was the solar eclipse over Mexico in July of 1991, their prophecy stated that this would be the beginning of a 500-year era of cosmic consciousness, and that the masters of the stars would return. And of course, anybody who even cursorily studies the UFO field will know that the flying saucer activity over Mexico just in the last couple of years has been immense. We've had something like 27 million people witness saucers floating several hundred feet over downtown Mexico City for night after night, hours at a time, and the skies are literally just filling with these craft all over the world. And then, last but certainly not least, you can take the modern age prophets of Edgar Cayce, where the great sleeping prophet talked about how between 1985 and 1988, that the western part of the United States would go into the sea, that Japan would be destroyed, and that these massive global changes will occur. Well, the only good news as far as Edgar Cayce goes is that Mr. Cayce hasn't had a real good success rate. He was right virtually about everything up until about 1972, and then things began to change so rapidly that his two major predictions were the eruption of a volcano in the Pacific Northwest in the late 1970s, and of course Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980, and the collapse of the Russian Empire. He said that would also happen in the end of the 1980s, which of course that did. But there's been a lot of various things changing, which then leads up to my prophecies and my predictions.
It does, and that's a good point to jump from, Sean. Okay. When we come back in just a moment, I would like to review some of the prophecy and prediction you made in this program.
Good.
All right? And we'll do that in just a moment. Do you know what it's kind of, Sean David Morton? Sean, among other things, you predicted... this may be one you missed on, an assassination, is that correct?
Yes, it did. A couple of them, actually.
Yes.
The first one, which I talked about, and did we talk about Clinton?
Yes.
Okay. In speaking about Clinton, we talked about this on the show, where myself and, I went up to actually speak to the Secret Service in the up in Westwood, and told him that I felt that that his life was in danger, that something very severe was going to happen to him. At first they didn't take me seriously at all, and then I pulled out, I used to work for the, or I have worked on a couple of occasions with the Los Angeles Police Department, and they give you a number and a code and what have you.
Right.
It's part of something LAPD puts together called Unit 9, which they use in a very, very last-ditch effort to find missing persons or child murders, what have you. And it was my feeling that that Clinton's life was in great danger, and I had felt that that I had visions of him being assassinated, and specifically, I thought that something would occur to him in Europe. Now, I don't know if this relates to it or not, but there was a major news story a number of weeks ago that the Secret Service arrested yet another man who was tracking Bill Clinton. And that this man apparently was stalking Clinton all through Europe, and this was apparently the 12th individual that the Secret Service had arrested since Clinton took office, of somebody that they were claiming was stalking him or trying to assassinate him. I think the vision is still valid. I think maybe my timing on it was off. One way or another, it is my opinion that, and I have to reiterate this every time that I get on a show, the reason I went to the Secret Service in the first place is because I don't particularly agree with Mr. Clinton's policies, but it is I don't want any harm to come to him either.
Of course not.
I have to reiterate this every single time I do this, the fact that I get very specific, very frightening, somewhat violent visions of things and events occurring, and due to the work that I do, I must make them public in order to...
That's fine. Sean, I want to ask you one other very important thing. Sure. How do you decide about the timing? In other words, once you come up with a prophecy, by what means do you decide on the timing of that prophecy. How do you know when?
That's the most difficult part, because of the fact that when one gets these visions, or when I get these visions, it's almost like watching a television set with the sound turned off without having a TV guide. You're getting these flashes of images of things occurring, and really not with much of a time frame on them. I have said from the beginning of my newsletters that there was going to be a chain of events that would lead up to Clinton's assassination. Now, it's also kind of strange, too, because a political assassination, in other words, someone leaving office by being politically assassinated like Nixon was, for example, and a physical assassination on the psychic plane look very similar. One way or another, the man just is taken out of history. He's taken out of the essence of the future. And the only thing that I'm seeing is that, well, first off, he's not president of the United States in 1996, but it doesn't make a boy genius to figure that out. The second thing was the violent things that were specifically surrounding him.
Okay, stop again, Sean. I want to ask, in other words, how you have this vision, or in what manner it comes to you. In other words, with regard to an assassination, do you don't actually see the assassination? You simply note that the president is the president no longer, and make conclusions? Or in what manner does this come to you?
Okay, to give you the specific vision that I had on this, it had something to do. What I saw was a vehicle. I saw him half in and half out of a vehicle on a sidewalk. And I saw a number of people around him who had also been hit or been shot at the same time, almost as if someone had opened fire on a crowd of people that Clinton was inside of.
Mm.
That's the first thing I saw.
So, in other words, you do have specific visions then?
Well, yes, and let me finish what I was saying.
Yeah, please.
Then it's weird, because after you get the vision, there's a whole cascade of feelings that one gets when I do my meditations about things that are connected to it. And there's some kind of foreign involvement that was going on. It had something to do with Bosnia-Herzegovina, the Serbians, whether or not there was some connection with this. And I had been talking about somehow this event occurring being linked to Bosnia-Herzegovina, that if he took action there, that the chain of events would lead up to this political assassination occurring.
Well, that is interesting, because, as you know, it's very much in the news right now. The Serbs attacked a UN position holding some of the artillery they had been given. They took it back. We bombed them, a multilateral mission. They now are giving these items back, but clearly tensions have increased.
Well, in my book, The Millennium Factor, which was published in September of 1992, I stated not only that Clinton would become president of the United States, but I stated the exact percentage by which he would win, which was about 42%. My misinterpretation of it was I thought it would go to the Congress, because I didn't think you could become president with only 42% of the vote. And of course, I didn't take into effect the Electoral College. I stated in the book that he would, once again, have a car-related accident. And as far back as 1992, I was talking about, once again, if he gets involved in Bosnia-Herzegovina, there will be a chain of events that will lead up to, in this particular vision that I'm seeing, something that has to do with foreign involvement, that specifically has to do with that area of the world, bringing him some violence. That's the vision that I had.
All right. And what were some of the other predictions you made on the program?
Okay, we talked about... specifically, it is still my impression that the Pope is very much in danger. I think that I think that he will die within the next 60 to 90 days. He will, I think, and once again, he gets up from the bed and he tries to do something in the middle of the night, and he simply collapses in between the bed and another very large chamber in wherever it is he's in what's called the papal bull. And this will then trigger a series of events that, when this particular pope dies, there will be another pope who will come after him, who I believe will probably be French. And this pope will be called, his Latin name will be Glorious Olive, which means the Pope of the Glorious Olive Branch. And I think it's going to be, specifically, that the name of the next pope will be Pope Leo the 14th. And I think that Pope Leo will lead the Catholic Church back for a brief period of time to a very, very a brilliant renewal of Catholicism for a brief period, almost as if a flame that explodes just before it goes out. And I have seen this individual being assassinated once again in an area of the world relating to Bosnia-Herzegovina. It's somewhere in the Belgrade area. Pope Glorious Olivas rules for about 2, maybe 3 years, and then he is replaced by the last of the popes, who will be known as the Black Pope, the lame pope, and this last pope will be called Peter the Roman or Petrus Romanus.
By the way, do you have any predictions with regard to the Bosnian conflict period? In other words, where that's going?
That entire area of the world will be responsible, in my belief, for what you're about to see, the juxtaposition of the last great world war. And it will have a great deal to do with what I see as far as this coming Antichrist that's about to make his appearance on the scene, this individual who's going to come up from Persia, who will then be linking together the various Islamic republics into sort of one large super state that will simply be called the Islamic Jihad, and that Bosnia-Herzegovina will very much be a trigger for this last great, and when I talk about a war, it's almost like a Cold War, because it goes on for a very, very long time. It extends for about 20 to 25 years or so, in which we have this character who comes up out of the Middle East waging the last great war against mankind over a very long period of time. And I think the difference with my predictions from a lot of other people is that not everything happens all at once. Everything happens in phases and happens in cycles, and one can very easily predict certain events by simply understanding the phases and cycles of things as they occur. And this last great war, or the last great conflict, which will lead up to a very huge conflagration in Europe and China and across the Far East, is what I see coming with the advent of this third great Antichrist.